And all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The Senate, that Sergeant Burns will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, the Reverend Mr. Dennis Morim. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day and for all of the possibilities and all of the opportunities that this day offers to each of us. Lord, our thoughts and our prayers go out to all of those families who lost loved ones and lost property in these horrific tornadoes that went across many of our states these past days. We pray, surround those families and individuals with compassionate and empathetic neighbors, friends, and even strangers, and help them as they rebuild their lives. At this time of the year, we pray for the many farmers throughout our state, and we pray that this spring, that all fields that our farmers intend to plant will be planted, and none will be left empty because of wet conditions. Bless our farmers with a bountiful harvest this fall, and we pray that their labors will be rewarded and that the food needs throughout the world can be more greatly met. We continue to pray for the troubled areas of our world, for Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Egypt. We pray for stability to someday come into all of those places, as well as for those that were unnamed. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be so constantly at work in our world, your world, that we as a human family, that we grow in living more peacefully together. And in our own country, as the word racism has been spoken many times these past days, we pray that we may grow in our sensitivity and our acceptance of each other, that racism, prejudice, bigotry constantly be diminishing in our language, in our thoughts, in our attitudes. I pray, Lord, for these senators and their staff as they move toward the end of this legislative session. Guide them and lead them, that they may deal with all the issues and all the pressures before them prior to the close of this session. All these things and whatever else more your will is for our lives and for your world, we ask in faith, knowing that you are the giver of all life and you are the creator of all things possible. Amen.
To the Republic which stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reiner, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
Quorum is present. Second order of business, executive and official communications. Members will make note of those printed on today's agenda. Third order of business is messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file number 1689, a bill for an act relating to insurance authorizing certain benefits for Minnesota Fair Plan employees. And Senate File Number 1246, a bill for an act relating to public safety, traffic regulations, clarifying requirements pertaining to collisions. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No action is necessary. The Secretary will read the additional message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate File Number 663, a bill for an act relating to state government, making changes to resource recovery provisions. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House, Johnson C., Hornstein, and McNamara. Senate File Number 663 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And, Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 2405, 2912, 1984, 2214, and 2798. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business is the first reading of House bills. They will be referred as indicated in the agenda. First reading of House bills. Fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The committee reports are adopted. Seventh order of business is a second reading of House bills. House files 1851, 1916, 2654, 2722, 2755, and 2925, second reading. Ninth order of business are motions and resolutions. Resolutions number 240 and 241 are referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Senator Bach. Remaining on motions and resolutions.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills to be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
First order, the first bill on special orders is number 72 on general order, Senate File 2490, Senator Tomassoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, Senate File 2490 is a bill that would allow transitioned employees of joint powers to maintain their union representation until a new labor agreement is agreed upon. Local units of government often enter into joint powers agreements to provide services more efficiently, and this will make sure that the operation goes smoothly. Madam President, I have an A4 amendment, which is an agreement for all the parties concerned, and it's a Peace in the Valley agreement, and it's a delete all amendment. So at this time, I'd like to offer the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomassoni moves to amend Senate File Number 2490 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause, and this is the A4 amendment.
Senator Tomassoni.
Thank you, Madam President. As I said, the A4 amendment is an agreement. It's an agreement between AFSCME Council 65, the Association of Minnesota Counties, the Minnesota League of Cities, and the Minnesota School Boards Association, and they've reached an agreement regarding what the bill should do. The bill covers all local units of government except for service delivery authorities, which are governed by another statute. To be covered under the bill, the Joint Powers Authority must have its own governing board and be able to hire employees. The bill uses the criteria already in statute from the state takeover of district courts to determine which, if any, union will represent the employees upon formation of the joint powers agreement. A majority of the employees must already be represented and or sign cards saying they wish to be represented for a union to be certified without an election. The bill grants the Commissioner of the Minnesota Bureau of Mediation Services the power to determine appropriate bargaining units for a new joint powers agreement. With the consent of both the union and each of the members of the joint powers agreement, the union for the new joint powers agreement may be certified prior to the formal establishment of the joint powers agreement, and the parties may negotiate a new union contract prior to the formal creation of the joint powers agreement. If the new joint powers agreement and the union representing its employees agree, the employees shall be covered by the union contract covering the largest number of employees until an agreement on a new contract is reached. Otherwise, the employees continue to be covered by the previous union contract until a new contract is negotiated. The bill defines seniority as a total service with a member of a joint powers agreement, and the joint powers agreement mandates and layoffs and recalls to be done by seniority. The bill allows the joint powers agreement to investigate and discipline employees for something occurring prior to the joint powers agreement's creation, and the bill allows joint powers members to provide a copy of private and confidential documents and employees' personal files to the joint powers agreement. The new union cannot be decertified until 1 year from the original certification, and the bill is effective January 15, 2015. That's what the A4 amendment does, Madam President, and like I said, it's a peace in the valley, everybody's agreed upon type of amendment.
Discussion of the A4 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of Senate File 2490. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2490 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2490, a bill for an act relating to labor and employment, providing employee protections in joint powers agreements.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2490. Members will please vote. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 39 ayes and 23 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 23 on general orders, House File 2874, Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Madam President.
There's too much conversation going on. It's hard to hear. Please take your conversations out of the chamber. Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, thank you. I move that the amendment made to House File number 2874 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 22, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
On your motion, Senator Wicklund, if you would explain the differences between the House bill and the Senate bill.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, there were two changes made to the original bill. The original bills were the same in the House and the Senate. Two changes were made in the House, and they are to delete two sections that would have been repealed. Members felt that two of the items were not should not be repealed, and the Department of Health would like to accept those changes and not repeal the items. The two changes were, one was to remove a section that had to do with formaldehyde. There were members who felt that that should be retained in statute. And the second item was removal of a repealer that had to do with a council, the Healthcare Reform Review Council. The Department of Health had recommended that this council be repealed, but members thought that this should be retained in case in future years there's a desire to bring the council back to activity. It hasn't been active for 4 years, but they would like to retain that ability. So those are the two changes. The remainder of the bill is identical to the Senate version.
On the Wicklund motion regarding Rule 45, is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Discussion? Nope. Is stricken. I'm sorry. The motion prevails. The further discussion of House File 2874.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Wicklund.
House File 2874 is the Minnesota Department of Health unsession bill. This bill makes technical changes. It eliminates and modernizes some antiquated language, and it removes some unnecessary and obsolete provisions relating to the Minnesota Department of Health. Article 1 has to do with the Healthcare Simplification Act. This act was enacted almost 20 years ago, and many provisions are now either obsolete or have been superseded by other provisions. Minnesota Department of Health worked with a independent or voluntary stakeholder organization, the Minnesota Administrative Uniformity Committee, to review the act and to recommend changes. The changes reflect needed revisions and updates and are necessary in order to ensure the act remains clear and allows for continued improvements and efficiency. This act has to do with healthcare claims, transactions, and billing. Article 2 is regarding reports on vulnerable adults maltreatment. Both the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services are designated as lead investigators on lead investigative agencies for cases of adult maltreatment under the Vulnerable Adults Act. Both of them are required to submit annual reports to inform the legislature and governor about alleged maltreatment of vulnerable adults in facilities and programs that are licensed by MDH and DHS. This bill provides for provisions for annual publishing on each of their websites of information relating to the number and type of reports of alleged maltreatment, the number of requiring investigation and the resolution of those investigations. It also provides for a combined comprehensive biennial report to the legislature and governor on numbers and types of reports, numbers of investigations, resolution of investigations, and also analysis of trends and additional analysis. The desire is to provide a comprehensive combined report because this will reduce duplication of effort across the two agencies, and it will provide consumers a better consolidated report and stakeholders, the governor and the legislature, that provides more comprehensive information than is currently provided. This will allow for better tracking and trending of maltreatment incidents related to vulnerable adults. Article 3 has to do with references to tuberculosis. The references are being removed because tuberculosis is considered in a group of other communicable diseases, and therefore the references are not needed. Article 4 is a miscellaneous section and includes one section, it's a miscellaneous article and includes one section that removes a clause that refers to smallpox, and smallpox has been eradicated. Section 3 is the repealer section, and it repeals different references to programs and pilot studies that are no longer in existence, references to grants that have run their course, and references to things like an office that no longer exists and a mobile health clinic that has not existed for a long period of time. Again, this bill is meant to provide greater clarity to statutes by removing unnecessary language, and it also ensures that an important act is brought up to date. I stand for questions, and I would request your support. Thank you.
Further discussion of House File 2874. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 2874 its third reading.
House File Number 2874, a bill for an act relating to health, making technical changes, eliminating or modernizing antiquated, unnecessary, and obsolete provisions.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll on House File 2874. Members will please vote. Members will please vote. All members voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 40 on general orders, House File 2213, Senator Latz.
Members, the bill before you is to clarify recent decisions by the Minnesota Supreme Court and the Minnesota Court of Appeals regarding interpretation of certain foreclosure statutes to clarify that those decisions have no effect on the time limits established by the Curative Act and other statutes of limitations intended to assure marketability of title. Members, Chapter 582.25 is known as the Curative Act. It provides that a foreclosure sale and mortgage is valid by operation of law, and any defect in the process listed in the section is thus cured if a claim for defective closure is not filed by the date listed in that section. This change is necessary to ensure that title companies can issue title insurance, lenders can lend, realtors can broker real estate transactions, and Minnesotans can buy and sell homes with confidence. In other words, if a bona fide purchaser buys a home and there's some issue relating to a claim that might have been brought prior to the statute of limitations running, if that statute of limitations is uncertain, then that bona fide purchaser's purchase could be called into question in terms of the security of the title that they have obtained by buying the property. The proponents of the bill include Legal Aid, the Real Property Section of the Minnesota State Bar Association, Minnesota Bankers Association, the Minnesota Association of Realtors, the Minnesota Title Association, the Minnesota Credit Union Network, and the Independent Community Bankers of Minnesota. They all collaborated to develop this bill, and they now support it. I'm not aware of any opponents to the bill. There is one technical change in the bill that's a little bit separate from that. It makes permanent an exemption to the provisions of the foreclosure bill that was enacted last year for small credit unions and community banks. That exemption has worked well, but it was sunsetted. So this bill removes that sunset. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion of House File 2213. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 2213 its third reading.
House File Number 2213, a bill for an act relating to mortgage foreclosures, amending the definition of a small servicer.
The Secretary will take the roll on House File 2213. Members will please vote. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and 0 nays, House File 2213 is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 41 on general orders, Senate File 2277, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill basically just sets a goal for textile recycling in Minnesota. There are no mandates in it. The counties don't have to do anything special, but it sets up a goal of 20% of recycling textiles by 2020, and then 75% recycling by 2030. The reason we want this is because we already have a huge network in Minnesota of thrift stores and containers at shopping centers and so forth, but Minnesota only recycles 9.4% of our textiles. The national average is 15%. So the industry is all there, both for-profit and non-profit, and all this will do will be able to give the industry something to use in their advertising, to say Minnesota has a goal of 20% recycling of textiles. The nice thing about textiles is they're not just recycled, they're reused as they are, and they're also made into other things. For example, if you have clothing that's no good and you don't even think it's good enough to give to a thrift store or sheets or bedding or something like that, you can still give it because those things then go to another company that makes garage rags out of them. So they can be used.
Excuse me, Senator Goodwin. I'd ask the members to be polite. And if you have a conversation, take it off of the Senate floor here. Thank you. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. So not only will this help the textile recycling and recovery industry be able to advertise that Minnesota does have a goal, but it also hopefully will help us educate people about what they can and cannot recycle as far as textiles go. There is no requirement for the PCA to do anything. The industry is going to self-report to the PCA about the amount of recycling and, that they have each year to see if we're meeting our goals. They already do take a look at that and report it some to the PCA. This will just make sure that the industry as a whole and their association reports the amount. So I think it's a good bill. It's, like I said, no mandate. It's not a bad thing to just set up a goal so that the industry can use that to let people know that we do have a goal here in Minnesota. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And I hope the author of the bill would be willing to answer a question.
Senator Goodwin, do you yield? She yields. Senator Hand.
Thank you. There are other goals that are in Section 115A of the law pertaining to recycling and waste reduction. Do you happen to know what some of those other goals are that have been established?
Senator Goodwin.
Senator Hand, no, I don't.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, there are we've set goals in the state for recycling and waste reduction going back to the 90s. We had a goal for state offices in the metro area to recycle 60% of all solid waste by 1996. And I don't know, Senator Goodwin may not know, but does anybody know whether we've reached that goal? And Madam President, if you see anybody raising their hand, please call on them. But I don't know if we've reached that goal.
Senator Hand, we're all ignorant.
Well, I am too, Madam President, on that particular goal. We had a goal to statewide 10% per capita reduction in municipal solid waste generated by the year 2000. That was set in 1993. And I do know the result of that goal, Madam President. We actually saw per capita waste generation increase by 23%. So we had a goal to reduce it by 10%, and we actually saw a 23% increase. I believe that goal is still on the books, Madam President. I guess I'm just questioning why we are doing this. We're talking a lot, the governor's been talking a lot about unsession, cleaning up the books. I believe that we've got a whole bunch of these goals that were established back in the 90s that somebody put into law that have accomplished nothing. And many of them have probably expired in terms of what they were supposed to accomplish by a certain amount of time. I really don't know why we are doing this. I think we spend a lot of money once we establish goals and find out that they're not really doing whatever the original purpose was, and I think it's a mistake to do it. Let me suggest that when we do this goal, there is a life cycle that we go through in this state when we establish goals. The first thing is that we do what we're going to do today, which I believe we probably will, is we set the goal. Somebody has an idea that we're going to do something, so let's set the goal. And then after a year or two, then we have to do some funding to make sure that we've done enough outreach so people know that the goal exists. We have to spend some taxpayer dollars to make sure we're educating people to be aware that we have the goal. So we spend money to do that. Then we find out when the goal hasn't been reached that we probably have to have some reports. So we get to some department to go out and say, well, do a report on how close we're getting to this goal. So we spend money to do reports. And then after a couple of years of that, we find out we haven't reached the goal. So then what we do is we change the goals. We modify them in some way, maybe lower them a little bit or lengthen the time to attain them or do some other things. And then after we go on for another while, then we decide that people come and they say, well, I'm kind of in a problem with this, so can we do an exception and let me not be subject to that goal? So we create carve-outs. We say, all right, we'll make this goal not apply to you. And then after we do that, then we decide that, well, maybe we need a tax to fund programs so we can better reach those goals. And then after that doesn't work, then we end up with the mandates. We require some more reports. We send out inspectors, issue fines and penalties. And we do all this to ensure compliance to a standard that was once a goal that we never reach. And members, why do we do this? Why are we doing this? I think if recycling is a good idea, if there's an economic benefit, you don't have to pass laws or goals to get people to do good things. They will do them. So I think that nothing in this bill is going to increase textile recycling, but it will start us on this life cycle of setting mandates, doing studies, spending money to educate people. Let's not do it. I just urge us to let's not go down that path. Let's not pass this bill. In fact, let's get the governor to go back and look at all these goals and get rid of them. They don't do any good, and they do lead to a waste of money.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. And gee, I hate to be accused of rolling down the slippery slope of cleaning up the environment, but I think that we need to know that there, you know, we do have that possibility to save a lot of chemicals from going into the ground. It takes 700 gallons of water just to grow the cotton to produce one T-shirt. 17 to 20% of industrial water pollution is due to textile dyeing and treatment. We can have goals. Individuals have goals. Companies have goals. The state can have goals, too, without making mandates out of them. And I don't know if this slippery slope that was just spoken about will happen, but I don't plan on doing that. So my plan here is to just give these profits and for-profits and nonprofits and our infrastructure that we already have for this in Minnesota the opportunity to use this, that Minnesota does have a goal. So it's simple. Let's not make it really complicated, because it's certainly not complicated. It's easy. And I hope that we can just see that and see it for what it is right now. I'm certainly not wanting to clog up the statutes with unnecessary language, and I'm all for cleaning up where we already have that. But this is a new goal, and we haven't had this goal, specific goal, before, and I think it'll do us good to have it. Thank you.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Well, I think it is good to have goals in life, and for governments as well, but I do appreciate the fact that there's not a mandate. And so I appreciate the goal aspect, and just also I think solutions are important as well. And I believe perhaps Senator Goodwin mentioned, but there are many agencies, whether it's the Salvation Army or the DAV or the Epilepsy Foundation, that take textiles and reuse them either in recycling, or sometimes they're baled up and taken to other places where folks actually find a use in those textiles. So I don't see a problem with this. I appreciate the fact that it's a goal and not a mandate, and would encourage solutions, which would be using our nonprofits, helping our nonprofits with some of their goals as well as we discard textiles.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President, members. Senator Hahn and Senator Nelson alluded to some things, great points, and Senator Goodwin talked about cleaning up the environment. Let's establish the fact. We want to clean up the environment. We want to reduce and reuse. So if the goal is to do just that, then we should look at what we've done and what the outcomes are. And another thing we very rarely do in this body is look at outcomes and actual how those outcomes met expectations. Did we meet the goals? Did we meet the expectations? So I'll say this, and maybe I'll ask Senator Goodwin in the end, but I don't think anybody realizes how much money we spend doing this, and as Senator Hahn alluded to, but what do we get out of it? Madam President, will Senator Goodwin answer a question? Thank you.
She yields, yes.
Senator Goodwin, how much money have we spent spent on these various recycling goals, as we've discussed and as Senator Hahn mentioned and as you mentioned, and how much has it reduced, or how much have we increased our recycling efforts in the last 10, 20 years? So how much does it cost? how much we collected and how much it cost, and what have we actually obtained from the state, by the state. Thank you.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. Again, as I said before, I don't know. And my bill doesn't have a cost attached to it. There's no fiscal note. There's no amount of money that's going to have to be spent. It's a voluntary reporting system. This is my first recycling or environmental bill, so I haven't looked that up, and I don't really think there's in regard to this particular bill, there's no need to compare that, because it's like comparing apples and oranges at this point.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Goodwin. Well, I don't know. We have some of the best research staff in the country, in this room. If not in this room, we can pick up a cell phone and get a hold of them or text them. I don't know. So, has a local impact study been done on this? Is this simply another mandate on cities and counties and towns? Madam President, Senator Goodwin will answer a question. Has a local impact study been done to understand the impact on the cities and towns and counties of her legislation, which she does not know what the cost will be or how much we've collected in the past years and what kind of outcomes we've had? Thank you.
Senator Goodwin, do you yield? She does. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. As I said before, there is no cost attached to this bill. There is no cost attached to this bill. There is no cost attached to this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377. Senator Johnson.
Madam President and members, I would like to really thank Senator Goodwin on bringing forward this bill, and I'll tell you why. I'm a big recycler at home, and sometimes the clothes that I try to give away things that I no longer need or want or that are not very nice to Goodwill or a Salvation Army or something like that. But many times I have hesitated about putting some of the articles of clothing into the Goodwill sorting bag that I have. Because I think it seems very disrespectful to think that other people would want to wear some of my clothes that are stained and torn and so forth. And now I feel very good because I can take my clothes and my textile towels, sheets, whatever, put them in my Goodwill bag, and I know that they will then take that stuff out and dump it into their rag bag, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to put my clothing into my garbage can because I know it goes to the landfill, and I don't want to take up space in a landfill that I can dispose of it in some other way that will help people. Actually, this bill is a cost saver. It is a cost saver for me because I don't have to get a larger garbage can. It's a cost saver for the county and the communities because they no longer have to haul it away to the landfills and the incinerators or wherever it might go. So let's look at it as a good bill for all of us because we now know, thanks to Senator Goodwin, I now know that I can very comfortably throw my old clothing that is no good anymore for me, and I don't think for anyone, and save everybody money.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Goodwin yield, please?
Senator Goodwin, she yields.
Thank you,
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Goodwin, I'm a bit confused by the answer that you just gave Senator Chamberlain, because you talked about the fiscal note, no cost to the state, but I know when we were doing the Health Insurance Transparency Act, there was no real cost to the state. The major impact was to the downstream governmental entities, and that's what the local impact study would do. And so I guess the question, Senator Goodwin, was there a local impact study done, and what were the results of it?
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. To my knowledge, there is no local impact study done outside of the fact that the industry already knows how much is being recycled compared to how much can be recycled. And I don't know that. This is not a cost, so it's not a need for a local impact study. And let's do the study once we find out if some of these goals are working. If you want, do a study. But I don't see a need for a study at this point. It's just a goal. Thank you.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. And, you know, to Senator Johnson's point, you know, we do the same thing. We give close to goodwills to veterans, to lupus, as best we can without a mandate. But without the local impact assessment being done, I don't know how we can stand here on the Senate floor and say this will be a cost savings when we simply don't know and we haven't done the due diligence to understand that.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to just rise and tell you about my own experience and my own views on this, and by the way, Madam President, probably have about, I don't know, I don't want to overstate it, but maybe 30 suits in my closet that I can't wear anymore, and very few people could wear them. And so now what do I do with them? And I've thought a lot about, you know, taking them off to a certain place and so on and so forth, but, you know, to do that, I have to get them dry cleaned. And that's going to cost me a lot of money, and that's not as bad as the fact if I get them dry cleaned, they're going to use something called perchloroethylene, which is a precursor to greenhouse gases, exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to environmentally get away from. So I'm really hesitant about that. And then, by the way, just getting them all in the car and taking them off to the dry cleaner, that's going to, you know, fuel emissions and all of that, which is definitely not good. So that there are balances to all to this, and if anybody can help me with my little problem, that would be appreciated. But you know, none of this is all in the name of the environment, because there are environmental costs to doing this kind of thing, and I just think it's important for members to know that.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, members. I think we've had a pretty good enlightened debate here about this. And I don't want to make too much light of this. It is a little bit lighthearted, I guess. But we put these goals into law. And Senator Goodwin mentioned that we have goals. We have personal goals. Businesses have goals. Yes. But typically, when you set a goal, you also establish a plan to accomplish the goal. What good is a goal if you have no thought about how you're going to reach that goal? And that's the problem with this. We say, oh, well, let's reduce textile use, set a recycling goal, 20%, 40%, 75%, but there's nothing in this language that says how that's going to happen. How's it going to happen? It's not happening now. It's less than 10%. It's about 9%, I think, is what the recycling of textiles is. We don't have any goals for how much, you know, other things we should recycle, but just this one thing, textiles, we're going to recycle. And Senator Johnson, I appreciate your comments about clothing, and I know many people do. We certainly do in our house. We have older clothes. We call, there's some well-known industries, businesses that take older clothes. Many people do that. But it's also an indisputable fact that there are lots of things that we say we're going to recycle that end up costing more money than they save. So there's two things wrong with this kind of approach. We put this out there. We say, oh, here's a goal. And there's nothing attached to how we're going to accomplish it. Well, we'll fix that. I guarantee you, next year or the year after, we'll come back and say, you remember that goal we got? Well, we're not getting very close to it. It's still at 9%. We better do something to put in place a plan to make sure we get to that goal. We've had that goal. We can't just ignore the fact we have a goal. We better figure out how to get that to happen. Let's pass some laws. Let's force some mandates. Then we will have those local impact statements, Senator Pratt, that you're talking about. Then we will have those costs. But it won't be anything to talk about because we've already got the goals in place. And so, members, we are starting down a path that we shouldn't do. Recycling is a good thing. Most people do it for various things, but we don't need to put into law these goals that are based on nothing except wishes, and there's no particular plan to accomplish them. We shouldn't do it. It's bad public policy. We shouldn't do this, and I just urge people to come to their senses. Maybe we need to have a mandate or a goal. Let's do this. Let's, as a goal for the Senate, decide we're not going to set any more goals like this in the future. Can we have that goal? Maybe by 2020, we'll reduce the number of goals we set like this by 20%. Are you with me? We do an oral amendment, Madam President? Are you? Well, we won't do that. Thank you.
Further discussion of Senate File 2377, Senator Goodwin.
Madam President, I think we've had a pretty thorough discussion on this issue. I want to remind the previous speaker that he doesn't have to have his suits dry cleaned to throw them into the recycling, because if they're not appropriate for the racks, they're appropriate for rags, so he can have them recycled without dry cleaning them. And I think the good thing about this bill is hopefully there will be at least more education. I know I learned an awful lot when I toured some of the recycling plants that do this during last summer. So hopefully at least we can educate people about the need and state that at least we have a goal for the state. Thank you. Appreciate your votes.
Further discussion on Senate File 2377, Senator Limmer.
Well, Madam President, could the author yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, you talked about how suits and things could be chopped up and used as rags, but have you seen these suits? And, you know, that type of fiber, that polyester and Herculon, just doesn't soak up anything. So I just wanted to let you know there are some fabrics that just should be left to fade away.
Any more discussion on Senate File 2377? Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 2377, a bill for an act relating to solid waste, establishing textile reuse and recycling goal for the state.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 39 ayes and 24 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill in special orders is number 54 on general orders, House File 2605. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Pursuant to Rule 41.2, I'd like to make a motion to excuse myself from voting on House File 2605.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File 2605 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 25, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Senator Wieger, will you want to explain the motion?
Yes, Madam President. The bill relates to scrap metal, the reporting of transactions. Last session, we passed a new reporting system. The date for implementation was going to be 2015. The other body has several date changes to February 15 of 2016, and because that provision is strongly supported by law enforcement and the scrap metal industry, I would support extending the implementation to 2016, February 15.
Is there any discussion on the motion? On the motion to strike Rule 45, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. And we have before us House File 2605. Senator Wieger, any more comments?
Madam President, the explanation preceding pretty much summarizes where we're at. We're looking at the rollout of the automated property system. This is strongly supported by law enforcement. I want to thank Ramsey County Attorney John Choi for his leadership efforts, and the scrap metal industry has been very involved in meetings to get this right. And the bottom line, it's to serve the consumer that may have been ripped off by a car or perhaps farm implement machinery, and this is to put in place a system that will more accurately report the processing of scrap metal.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Gazelka.
Madam President, members, just briefly, since Senator Miller's not here, I think this is the compromise language to give them more time to figure it out. There is a national system that perhaps may be a better way to go, and this will give them the opportunity to explore that.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will give House File 2605 its third reading.
House File number 2605, a bill for an act relating to commerce, establishing a fee schedule for automated property system transactions.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move for a brief recess for the purpose of dealing with a conference committee.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate is in recess.
Committee on House File number 2090. Senator Limmer replaces Senator Newman. Senator Bach moves that the foregoing appointment be approved.
Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Announcements. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, we have a unique opportunity tomorrow, 10 minutes before session begins, Miss Minnesota, the reigning Miss Minnesota, will be here tomorrow with her violin to play a few songs for us. Remember, she made the top five last year in Miss America, and last week she played in another body here, and I had the opportunity to watch, and members, it was frankly fantastic. So if I can encourage all of you to please be here promptly 10 minutes ahead of time, I believe it'll be 9:50, so that we can honor her and be privileged to hear what she will be playing. Thank you.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, I want to, on behalf of the Senate President, invite members to the 4th Annual Intercultural State Reception, Tuesday, May 6th, from 2 to 3:30 in room 107. This is sponsored by Niagara Foundation, and it's an annual intercultural reception to provide opportunity for diverse ethnic and civic communities to come together with elected officials to cultivate friendship, celebrate diversity, and deepen intercultural awareness. Again, this is room 107 from 2 to 3:30 on Tuesday, May 6th, and I invite everyone to be there.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Reinert all day, Senator Champion from 10 to 10:35, Senator Torres Ray all day, Senator Hoffman all day, Senator Pappas from 10:30 to 11, Senator Limmer from 10 to 10:50. Senator Latz.
Madam President, I request to be excused from the last floor vote.
Is that fine? That's fine. Okay.
Thank you. Also, the Judiciary Committee will convene at 12:30 today.
Are there any more announcements? Those who are escorting the governor for the State of the State tonight, please be sure when we come back this evening at whatever time that is to meet at the desk so that you can go together to escort the governor.
Meet at the sergeant.
The sergeant of arms desk. Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, we're going to recess and come back at 6:30 for the to get assembled to go over to the House chamber for the State of the State tonight. So, Madam President, I move a recess to the call of the chair, approximately 6:30, at which time we will reconvene and make our way over to the House chamber for the State of the State.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Call.
That further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant will bring in the absent members.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, May 1, 10 a.m.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned. Okay, members, if you want to line up in the center aisle, then we will march together over to the House chamber.